Father, we're thankful to be here tonight, dear God. And we ask, Lord, that you be with us in this service, Lord. And God, guide us through this teaching of your word tonight, dear God, this little study. Lord, I pray, Father, you knowing our needs, Lord, speak to us tonight, Lord, and bless your people, I pray, for your glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to go over something from this chapter again before we leave it. We touched on a couple of things from it last Thursday, but I want to begin reading at verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions and distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. You may be seated. We know that Paul, you know, was actually the messenger to the first Gentile church age. And, you know, there was much revelation that was given to Paul by God, being the messenger to that age. It was more than actually, you know, and sometimes it's hard to conceive, maybe, but he actually had more revelation given to him by God than what actually the disciples who had actually walked with Jesus when they were here. You know, they all grew in revelation, obviously, but there was an abundance of revelation given to Paul, you know. And when you can see this, when you read through all the books of the compiled letters that Paul wrote, and the things, the doctrine that Paul laid in, which we, you know, is such a foundation for the apostolic church of Christ, and so Paul, when Paul, listen, Paul, when he met Jesus after Jesus had resurrected. And he didn't meet him, though, in that corporal body. What he met him in was actually what Jesus was before he came into the corporal body. He met him as the pillar of fire, that great light. And, you know, and then we can actually see from things that we even studied from 1 Corinthians, that when Paul wrote about the communion and the Lord's Supper, Paul didn't say, I went and asked Peter, and I went and asked the others that were there at the Last Supper what happened and what Jesus did and how to do all this. Paul didn't say that. Paul said, I received this from the Lord. The Lord showed me this. The Lord told me these things. You know, and Paul delivered that, what we keep as the communion, the Lord's Supper. And but there such great revelation he had. And Paul said that unless that he would get exalted within himself because of such great understanding and revelation that he had. You know, think about this. Think about the many times, and I know pretty much everyone here can think of some group or some preacher or somebody that has rose up around this message at some time claiming to have such great revelation that God had imparted to them, you know, and look how they get lifted up within themselves. And this is evident from, you know, them saying, well, look, if you're going to make it, you got to come over here. You got to come to our church. You got to follow what this new revelation. And that, you know, and you look at all of them, you know, and they get so lifted up in that. But Paul said, lest that would happen to you, because it's a human thing, see, the flesh. But Paul said, lest that would happen to him, that God actually allowed something to come his way to keep him humble. So that, and he said, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And Brother Branham said, you realize the word buffet means, you know, it's a constant thing that just kept happening. And he says, you know, Paul, because the Lord had appeared to him in a great light, it affected his eyes. He was actually blind until that God sent someone to lay hands on him and pray for him to restore back his sight. But, Paul, his sight was forevermore affected by this. Paul said that he wrote in large letters or large print, you know, because he had trouble seeing. And Brother Adam said, Paul, you know, he at times he would pray, and then it seemed like his sight would get better. But then he said, then here it would come again, and it would start to get worse again. And he said, that's what Paul meant by a messenger of Satan to buffet me. He said, it was blow after blow. He would get better, and then it would get worse, you know. And Paul then finally he's asking God, look, why are you allowing this to be on me? I know you're a healer. Why don't you just heal me from it? And instead of God healing him from it or removing it, instead God said, look, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, look, it's okay. We're not depending on you, Paul. You're depending on me. And then that's why Paul would write that, as God told him, says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you're weak, then you're strong. Because when you feel like you're strong within yourself, then you're relying on your own abilities. And Brother Branham said, a person begins to rely on their own abilities, then they kind of become self-righteous. They begin to think, you know, well, look at me, you know, nothing happens to me, I don't get sick, or that don't happen to me because, look, you know, I've got faith and I've got that. And he says, and they get dependent on themselves, and he says, that's actually self-righteousness. And we're not dependent on our own righteousness, we're not dependent on our own strength, we're not trying to, you know, to take ourselves there. We're depending on God. We look at God's word, and God said, the good work that he started, he would finish it. He didn't say, I'm going to start the work on you, and you're going to do some part and finish it. God said, no, I'm going to finish it. I'm going to stay on you. I'm going to stay working on you until the day we're raptured out of here. And so it's what God does. And he says, my grace is sufficient. You know, when you feel like you can't do it, then the thing is, God says, then I can come on the scene and do it. So therefore, when you're weak, then you're strong. Because you're not dependent on your abilities, you're strong because it's the Lord working through you. And then Paul said, well then, I'll glory in these things that are besetting me. I'll glory in my infirmities. And the necessities and the reproaches and persecutions and distresses and troubles and all these things, you know, I'll take glory in it, because why? All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. My grace is sufficient. You know, everything, anything you face, anything you go through, the grace of God is sufficient to take you through it. He'll see you through it. If every Brother Ram said, if everything was perfect for you all the time, then you would become self-righteous. But God, he says God allows things to come along to kind of get you meek, to humble you at times. You know, look, when you look at, like, even your abilities, you know, many times when I'm talking about this, you think I'm always talking about tests and trials and troubles and spiritual things and all that. But look at your daily life, your job, whatever it is that you've got to do in life. If you're dependent on yourself, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to fail. It's God that gives you the strength to do it. Listen, friends, it's God that keeps you sane enough to be able to do it. You don't realize how many people there are out there in the world today that they started in a career and they were doing really good and maybe very successful and maybe had great education so that their career was a great prestigious type of career or whatever, and the next thing you know, and maybe they're still physically able to do it and all that, whatever, but then all of a sudden they get struck with mental illness. And it doesn't matter what else, the education they had, it don't matter how physically fit they are, you know, all of a sudden they can't do what they had been doing. The mind's a very delicate thing. Our bodies is a very delicate thing. You can't depend on yourself. You got to depend on God. God gives you the strength. God keeps your mind. God keeps all these things in line to be able to for you to be able to do this. You ask people that, talk to Brother Todd. Brother Todd will tell you that, you know, how many times over the past recent years that, you know, he had a good job and then all of a sudden, boom, the bottom fell out. And he didn't have one. And with all his skills and abilities and everything else, you know, that he had to depend on God to open the door for the next job. You know, look, it's easy to go out here and get a job over here making gas grills over here in Dixon or making doors or whatever in these factories. That's not that hard. But getting a job that you can actually support yourself on or support a family on and actually make a living in this world, that's not that quite that easy. So you ask Brother Todd, every time God would open the door and give him something better than what he had before. Brother Todd told me this last time that it happened, he said, look, I've seen what God did before. I'm not even worried about this. You know, I'm just depending on God. He's going to open the door. There'll be a job. You know, and he told me, he said, you look and you see how many people are applying for these positions. You know, maybe there's a job and one position comes open. And how many people are applying for that one position? Then you take like individuals like, well, Brother David, who, you know, has his own business, works for himself and all that. Look, friends, it ain't his abilities that keeps that going. It's God that does it. And there's times when we get to thinking it's our ability, but then God will say, okay, I'm going to jerk the rug out from underneath you and let you realize it ain't you. So what do we do when it seems like the rug got jerked out? There ain't no sense crying about it. Ain't no sense complaining about it. Ain't no sense getting down in the dumps over it. Ain't no sense, you know, getting down on yourself about it. Just turn to God. Brother Branham said, look, he said, Isaiah said, God spoke to Isaiah and said, come, let us reason together. He said, the Lord saith, your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And Brother Adam said, look, it's God telling Isaiah, look, let's come have a conference. You got a problem? Let's have a talk. Come talk to me about it. Look, your friend can't do a thing for you. Your friend out here in the world, he ain't no better off than you are. He ain't got no more abilities than you got. No other human in this world can really do anything for you. Calling them, talking to them, or whatever, you know, they can talk to you, kind of, you know, you can kind of compare notes and all that kind of stuff, but the only one that can really do anything for you is God. So why is it so many times that he's the last one we decide to talk to? If you realize he's the only one who can do anything about it, then he ought to be the first person you call. He ought to be the first person you want to talk to. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said, he said, look, the worst enemy, he said, I got is William Branham. He said, he thinks he knows something and he gets in the way. He gets in God's way. And he said, that's the thing with people. He says, we keep God out of our lives because of our own selves. We get in the way. And he said, but if we can get ourselves out of the way, he said, forget about all the stuff you think you know. Forget about all your stuff, he said. And just the more that you yield to God and turn loose of you thinking that you can do something about it, then he said, then God can actually come on the scene and do things that's beyond you, more than you could even imagine. We go through things. Brother Branham said in the message, Uniting Time and Sign, he said, what if we had no tension in our life? What if we had no tension? He said, what if we had no pain? What if you couldn't feel pain? You know, we get pains, we hurt. And we say, oh, man, I wish I didn't have this pain. Brother Branham said, what if you couldn't feel pain? He said, then you'd be absent one of your senses. He said, what if we didn't have any tension in life? He said, a great misconception that a lot of churches and preachers tell people is, if you become a Christian, then you're not going to have any more troubles. You know, you're going to be worry-free. No more tension. Brother Ram said, no, when you become a Christian, that's when you really get the tension. That's when the things really, he said, because before that, here's what Brother Branham said, because you was just kind of slop-go, happy-go-lucky, whatever was out there, not caring what you did. You just kind of floating along with the stream. But once you started serving God, all of a sudden you're not floating along with the stream anymore. Now you're going upstream. Now it involves some effort. It involves some work. But what's the effort and work that we got to put into it? Believing God and trusting God. All our effort that we put into it. Look at all the effort Moses put into it. You know, Moses says, I believe that I'm the deliverer. So Moses says, well, I'm going to do something about this. And all the effort he put into it, what did it end up doing? It just made him drift further down the stream. He ended up with one dead Egyptian. Moses threw his hands up and said, maybe I'm not the deliverer. You know, I ain't got nothing. I'm just going to leave. Goes out in the desert and loses himself for 40 years. Kind of puts all that out of his mind. You think about it. How did Moses sleep at night during those 40 years? He knew about what all the Israelites, all the Hebrews, what they were going through back there in Egypt. So how did he turn his brain off at night and go to sleep? Somehow he put it out of his mind. Kind of went on with his life. Because he thought, well, I can't do anything about it. And when Moses finally got to a place where he didn't feel like he could do anything about it, then God said, all right, now I can use you to do it. And the brother said, look what God gave him. God didn't give him a great big army to go down there and overthrow Egypt. He gave him a stick. He said, now you take this staff and you go. Moses said, look, God, why didn't you do this when I was 40 years old? I'm 80-year-old man now. I said, because when you was 40, you was trying to do it all yourself. But now, he said, when you realize you ain't got the strength and ability to do it, now I can use you to do it. Brother Bram said, if I hadn't had tension in my life, I might not have ever become a Christian. He said, it was those things in my life that moved me to where I'm at to become what I am today. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Brother Branham, he talked about in that message, he talked about how that when the angel of the Lord would come and appear to him, he said it always scared him. It would scare him, startle him so bad. And he asked the Lord, don't come like that. Don't scare me no more. He said, you know, God could have said, well, I'm just not even going to come anymore. He said, but God said, okay, it won't scare you no more. But the angel still came to him. He still appeared to him. He said, so I realized this is God's will. This is what's going to happen. He said, so I just embraced it. Paul said, here was Paul. Brother Aaron said he was in jail. And he was in prison. And he wrote many letters, you know, to the churches while he was in prison. And while Paul was in prison, he said, Paul prayed and said, you know, Lord, take this from me. He said, take it away from me. Why? What's wrong? Why won't you take it away from me? But God just said, my grace is sufficient. Brother Bram said, what it is, he says, it's growing pains of God's grace. He says in the message of Shalom, he said, listen how he says it here. He said, God may permit crossroads. He may permit crossroads to try us, but it's to perfect us for his service. He may permit the crossroads like he did Daniel. He give Daniel, now listen how he says this. He give Daniel a little crossroad one day. He's got him thrown in a den of lions, a little crossroad. Well, that might not look like a little crossroad to us humans, but to God, it was just a little crossroad. It's how Brother Branham gives the analogy. He said it just was to try Daniel, but it also proved that God was with Daniel. Because God shut the mouths of the lions. They were at peace the whole time Daniel was down there with them. Now think about this, friends. When they would do things like this, what they would do, these wild animals and all that, you know, we're not talking about, you know, trained circus animals. They had wild animals. So what would they do? They'd let them be hungry. So here's these hungry lions down there, a little crossroad. And he gets thrown in. He says, look, he said, the Hebrew children had a little crossroad one day. They said, if you don't bow, and think about this. The image that was erected that they were supposed to bow and worship was actually an image that was erected in the likeness of Daniel, their fellow Hebrew brother. Boy, you could really take a spin on that one. How many people of today cling to believe this message would have been bowing back then? I said, no, we're not going to bow. Brother Master says, it was a little crossroad. And he said, look, he said, he may prevent you to have some cross words. He said, where somebody makes fun of you, where you got to take a stand, you take a stand for what you believe, or it gets known where you work or wherever you're at, what you believe, what kind of person you are. You know, no matter how much you try to keep that down and keep it hush-hush, you know, sooner or later it's going to get out. You know, they're going to invite you to go out with the guys or whatever. Let's go get a drink. Well, I don't drink. You don't drink? What's wrong with you? Come over for a party. Oh, I don't do that. What's the matter with you? How come you ain't cussing and swearing like the rest of us? You know, look, I'm just going to insert this in. And this right here that I'm inserting in, I'll tell you, it's just Jerry Browning. I do not understand how the people that don't have no more control over their vocabulary that they've got to use a bunch of curse words. There is so many words in the dictionary to use. Read it. Get educated. Figure out some words to say besides that. Why do people need to use that? People aren't expressing themselves by that. He said he may permit little cross words, people to laugh at you for having long hair, or laugh at you for saying, you know, you've become a holy roller. He may let them laugh at you for that. He said, that's all right. It's just a crossroad. It's just a little junction. And that is to prove something. He said, see, the only thing that the crossroad did to the children, the Hebrew children, is it loosed them from the bands they had around their feet and legs. In other words, he's talking about these hardships and things that come and get in your way in life. And Brother Branham is likening them to this phrase he uses as a crossroad. And he goes on to, why is he saying it's a crossroad? Well, what is a crossroad? He says, it's a junction. When you come up to, y'all know what a crossroad is you come up to a junction or an intersection where one road crosses the other. So you've come to a crossroad. What does it mean? It just means you got to change your path. Maybe you got to turn and go another direction. But we get to those crossroads many times and we're like, oh, which way am I supposed to go? Just depend on God. He'll direct you. Well, I got here and I got to do something. What I got to do? Brother Aaron said, stand still. And wait. You look at Moses. He says, they come down there to the Red Sea. And he said, they got down to the Red Sea, you know, and the children of Israel, they became upset because Pharaoh's army was behind them. They had nowhere to go. They either walk into the sea and drown, or they get killed by Pharaoh's army that is coming behind. And he says, so God says to Moses, tell them, stand still. Don't get excited. Tell them not to get excited. Just stand still. I'm about to show you my grace. And Brother Bram said, what did Moses do? What did Moses do? He said, Moses didn't do anything other than just lift his arms up. He said, it was God that came down on the scene and did something. He said, a wind came blowing in. And he said it actually separated the water and made a path for them to walk across. Pharaoh's army, Pharaoh said, well, if they can do that, walk across there, they ain't getting away from us. We'll just go right on through there too. So the very way of escape for the children of Israel was the trap for the enemy. Look, friends, look, God will not only will he deliver you, but look, I'm going to tell you, he's going to fight your battles for you. You got somebody that is an enemy to you that's talking bad about you and all this. You don't got to do anything to them. You don't got to confront them. Just commit it to God and go on. Let God take care of it. I remember there was a time, I hadn't been here maybe a year or two, and there was a place we were fellowshipping with and that, and some people in that, and there was some things that were getting said about me that weren't true. And the nature like that I am, I wanted to go prove to them and tell these people, so look, that ain't true. That's not true about me. But God spoke to me. He said, look, I didn't call you to go around straighten them out. I said, but God, I misunderstood. And God said something to me. He said, Jesus was the most misunderstood person on the face of the earth ever. And you think you're going to be better than him? Jesus said, look, here, let me just kind of paraphrase the way Jesus said this. Jesus said, look, if I'm misunderstood, don't you think you're going to be misunderstood too? He says, if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, what do you think they're going to call his servants? He says, the crossroads for the Hebrew children, it only loosed them from the bands that they had around their feet and legs. And sometimes it takes hard trials to break the bands that are binding us. Sometimes God lets us have a little trial, you know, to see what we'll do. In other words, a little trial. Now listen how he says this. A little trial that'll knock you out of that organization and that ideal that the Methodist is the only one, or the Baptist or the Pentecostals. They're the only groups that's got it. If you don't believe like my church, you don't believe at all. What you say, well, that what you just read doesn't really apply to us. Well, sometimes, friends, people form an organization of their own in their mind. Brother Bram says this. He says, when you get an idea that you think God ought to answer and take care of a situation in a certain way, the way you think it ought to be, he says, what you have just did is you have made God an idol. Now, you've made an idol out of this idea that you've had of how God should react and act in your on your case. He said, look, the thing you got to know is he's God. Just know he's God. He's got it in control. He's going to take care of it. And just however he chooses to do it, just accept it. Look, the Bible tells us about Abraham that after he had patiently endured, then he got the promise fulfilled. Sometimes we got to patiently endure things that we're going through. Look, I'm not saying this because it's just a bunch of words I'm spilling out because of words I read out of a Bible. I'm also telling you from experience myself. There's been times I've went through things, friends, my family, me and my wife have went through things that have come against us that, you know, you just want God to deliver you from it right then and right there, and let's just get this taken care of. And I'm just as much human as anybody else. I usually scramble around to figure out, what can I do about this? And I'll tell you, there's times I try to take matters in my own hands. It didn't change anything. It didn't amount to nothing. How long is this going to go on? I don't know how many of y'all have ever been drugged into court over something. When you go through court over something, I'll tell you what. You got one court date after another. And this, you know what this court date's for? This court date is for you to go show up so they can set another court date. And then you get to that court date, and the lawyer, your lawyer and the prosecutor and the judge and all them, you know, they talk and all that, and then they set up another date. You just got to patiently endure. Now, of course, there's some things people go to court over and it just boom and it's done and it's over, you know, one shot through and that's it, you know. But I'll tell you something, friends, you go to court for something and somebody's after you for something that they shouldn't be, and you got to depend on these lawyers and everybody working out all this stuff about the law you don't know nothing about, it's just one day after another. And it can drag on. And you just got to be patient. Let them do what they know how to do naturally. And you just pray that God moves on your behalf. And after you patiently endure, then God's going to deliver you out of it. Not every trial we go through is just, you know, a 5 to 7 day trial. Try being audited by the IRS one time. I'm going to tell you what, it's going to last longer than a minute. And the best thing is, don't talk to them yourself. Get somebody to represent you. Because them jokers, man, they'll just get, all they want is to get you all twisted up. They try to squeeze as much out of you as they can. Brother Barham says sometimes he lets the trial, little trial happen. He said, maybe you got a sick baby. Or maybe something takes place right at the hour of death. Or maybe someone is taken from you in death or something. He said, what does it do? He said, it's to just break you away to show you something. Open your eyes. Maybe God's doing that to break some of those worldly bands that's got you bound down. Brother Branham goes on to talk about this and he says, in this particular message of Shalom, he says, it's like a man that's drowning in the river. Now, you know, when a person is drowning, what are they doing? They're they're taking on water, it's going into where air should be, going into their lungs is how a person drowns. So Brother Ram said, you take a man that's drowning in the river, to save him, the first thing you got to do, he says, is get him out of the river. He says, you'll never get that river out of the man, all that river that he swallowed. You're never going to get it out till you get him out of the river first. He says, and that's the way God works. He says, these little trials that come your way, these crossroads, he says, sometimes it's God using it to get you out of where you are so then he can get the mess out of you. He permits these junctions, these crossroads to do that. He said, so what do? He said, we just stand on his promise. He said, you got to realize, he says, the future is in his hand. And Brother Branham goes on to say, he says, now look, he said, if he promised to do all these things in the last days, and he promised to do these things for us in our life, he says, then the thing we need to do is just get in the rhythm of what God's doing. Just get in the rhythm with it. And he said, how do we do that? Well, he said, he promised to send Jesus, and he did. He said, he said there's going to be a millennium. Well, we just accept and believe there's going to be one. He said, there's going to be a new day. He said, look, I feel inside of me that new day is dawning. Now, we look out here on the outside, and we see all the craziness that's going on in this world. But what does all that craziness mean? It means that day is coming to an end. It means this life is coming to an end. Life as mankind has known it for thousands of years is coming to an end. But there's a new day dawning. And Brother Bam says, why do I say I can feel it inside of me? He said, because there's been a change happening in me. He says, I feel that surge of light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that has made me a new creature in him. And in this message of Shalom, Brother Branham preached it in January the 12th, 1964. And Brother Branham goes on to say, he said, look, he says, I don't know what the future is going to hold. He says, I don't know what it holds for 1964. He said, I don't know what 1964 holds for me, but I hold the hand of him that holds it. I hold the hand of him, he said, that holds eternity. So I don't got to worry about it. I know that whatever's out there, you know, what is one of man's biggest fears? The unknown. What's the biggest fear you face anytime a situation or a trial where something, you know, some obstacle comes up in your life, in your pathway? You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to turn out. The thing is, we hold the hand of the person that's got control of how it's going to turn out. In Revelations 2, the Lord speaking through to John, speaking there to that church age, he said, he starts out and he tells them, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He said, every time God used these words, fear not, there's an engagement at hand. There's something coming your way every time God speaks to you and says, fear not. He said, something involving danger, a tribulation's coming that would frighten you. But like a mother who's about to turn out the light, she says gently to her child, lest he be frightened, don't be afraid, for the light's going to go out. It'll be dark, but remember, I'm here with you. He said, that's how God says it. Don't be afraid of man or what he can do to you. I'm with you. My grace is sufficient for you. When you pass through the waters, they will not overflow you. Not even in death are you defeated. You are more than conquerors. And Paul says in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height, debt, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said, God told Moses, tell the people don't want to get excited. Every footstep of the righteous is ordered by the Lord. Every footstep you're going to take in this life is ordered by the Lord. I want you to realize something, friends. Look, God spoke to Jeremiah and he said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, he said, I ordained you and called you to be a prophet. So God's letting him know, look, I was looking out for you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. So God didn't start looking out for you when you accepted him as your Savior and become a Christian. That's not when God started looking out for you. God started looking out for you before you were even born. You know, say you were born and maybe you lived a life out here in this world. You didn't go to church. You didn't serve God. You didn't do all these things. But even in that time, God was looking out for you. God was guiding your footsteps. And he was eventually going to bring you to a crossroad which was going to change your life. And set you free from them bands of that sinful world that you were living in. He said, no matter what comes or goes, God orders it. Maybe through trials, it may be through troubles and tribulations, but as long as God's leading, what difference does it make? He said, no matter what comes and goes, what difference does it make if God, if we know that God's got us in his hand, if God's the one leading us, then it don't matter what comes our way. We're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. It wasn't anything Moses did when they got down to the Red Sea. It wasn't anything the children of Israel did. It was God. God worked on their behalf. And God works on our behalf. It's not what we're capable of doing in this life. It's God that works on our behalf. He said, if when any time that he said, God made a way for them straight to the promised land. And anytime something got in the way, God just moved it. He said, so anytime in your walk something gets in the way, he says, then what you need to do is like God said to Isaiah, come on, let's have a conference. Come talk to me. Come talk to me about it. I'll move it out of the way. Hallelujah. Come and talk it over. After the time, what time is it? Okay, we got a few minutes. After the time of Moses, you know, and Joshua come on the scene. And we know that the word of the Lord that came to Joshua when Joshua was given the commission to that he was going to step up into the place that where Moses had been as far as being the leader to lead the people. And so God said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. And, you know, of course, we know that, and we've heard it emphasized on there, how that, you know, God was, no matter how many mistakes Moses made, God was always with him. And so that's what God was letting Joshua know. Brother Branham says it this way in the message of As I Was With Moses in 1960. He says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I'll not fail you. You may fail me, but I won't fail you. But if you fail me, my grace is sufficient. I'll bear you right back up. Just keep moving on. If you fail me, my grace is sufficient. What's the most important thing? Look, friends, the most important thing in my life is not me preaching. The most important thing in my life is making heaven. The most important thing in my life is making eternity. Which that comes down to saying the most important thing is your soul. That's more important than anything else in your life, is making it. My grace is sufficient. Brother Branham was praying in the message of marriage of the Lamb. And he said, now, Lord, I've quoted your word. He that will come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, red like crimson, white like wool. Come and buy of me wine and oil. My grace is sufficient. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. And now the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. Father, they are yours. They are trophies of your word. Friends, look. Sometimes we get so down on ourselves. But we're trophies. That's how God does it. We're his trophies. We're the trophies of his word. Look, friends, he tells us so many times in so many places in his word how much we really mean to him. He gives us analogies. He likens it to, you know, like parents taking care of a child. Real parents that have the right kind of love for a child. Not some of this things of the people of the world, but real parents. He said, I love you like that. He said, if a child asks his father for an egg, would he give him a serpent? No. How much more does your heavenly father know what you have need of? Hallelujah. My grace is sufficient. Let's stand. God's going to see us through. He's going to take us through. He holds our life in his hands. Amen. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, now to bless this word, this little Bible study we had here tonight to the people, Lord, from this chapter of Corinthians, Lord. And I pray, God, that you will, Father, that it spoke to people tonight. I don't know everything that everybody's facing and everything they go, little thing they go through and that, Father, and I don't know what decisions maybe perhaps somebody has right now on their plate to make, Lord. But Lord, you do. And Lord, that's all we've did is we've pointed them toward you. Lord, you take care of us. Lord, even the times that, Lord, that maybe we've got to go do something concerning some situation, it's you directing us and telling us what to go do. Bless your people tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name.